Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, folks. Before we get started, I just want to let you know, if you've ever wanted to buy something, store.nlcast.com. We have merch, t-shirts, posters, stickers, all kinds of good stuff, tote bags. And if you go right now, between now and the 7th, which is Saturday, you can save 20% with promo code YOURMOM. That's 20% over at store.nlcast.com, promo code YOURMOM.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by drawyourpicture.com, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others and see what I can do for you at drawyourpicture.com. Also by our patrons like Cyber Ninja X, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Join today at patreon.com/thatstoreshow.
Hey, this is Reagan, and you're about to listen to the worst show in America, That Story Show.
Hey, this is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 410, brought to you the week of May 5th. 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John. And James, you know what? I took an extra pair of socks to play golf the other day. You want to know why?
No. Yes.
Just in case I got a hole in one.
Yeah.
Be prepared. That's what they always taught us.
Yes. Thank you, John.
Thank you, James. And thank you, Reagan, for that exhilarating intro. Worst show. Come on.
Worst show. We've played that before, but it was worth it.
In America.
The worst show in America. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Well, I mean, she's not wrong.
Yeah.
We're just really good at being the worst.
Well, today is a special day. And it is a theme show day. It is. And today's theme show is Mates and Dates. And we're really excited because we've been asking for your stories about your loved ones, your married peoples, and the dates that you've been on and tried to go on, and the cringy stories that go along with relationships. And yes. I'm going to tell you, we got so much content that I'll go ahead and make this announcement now. We're going to do two of these in a row because we have so much stuff left over. So I filled up an entire show and bonus content, and there's still so much left over. So we're going to do two of these in a row. Yeah.
I'm excited.
So part one, this is part one.
Part one. We're going to have a two-parter.
I know. Never have ever done that before. So I'm excited.
410 episodes, and this is the first two-parter.
I know. It's great.
I love it.
Love it. All right. This is our opening story. It's called The NL Cast Family, and it's from Alita Titchnell, who we love dearly.
Yes.
So this story is for Mates and Dates show. She says, I met my husband because of a podcast. Both of us followed the same hosts and listeners on Twitter. And back then, the Twitter format was such that you could see everybody's at replies in your timeline. And there were a few of us that would tweet each other daily. It was a good break from working a job I didn't love. After a few months, he started direct messaging me, and we got along great, and he started emailing and texting me. Man, they're just getting flirty.
Yeah.
With my permission, she says. So we started video chatting. Oh, no. Big time. Just, you know, step by step. It's slow, though, you know, but it's so techie, though. It's so modern. It's such a cool way to do it. So we started video chatting, and we talked every day after work, and we became best friends so quickly. He came to visit me during Thanksgiving 2009. It was the first time we had seen each other in person, and he was brave enough to meet my parents. Mm-hmm. I knew he was the one. We fell in love immediately and never looked back. Mm-hmm. If you haven't figured out, the name of the podcast that we listened to was called Nobody's Listening, and James called us the NLCast couple. We got married on May 5th, 2012, 10 years ago today.
Wow.
Mm. John officiated our wedding, and we were so happy. We had a baby girl in 2014, the NLCast baby, as she's been dubbed. And we were married 5 years before he passed in 2017, and it was the best years of our lives. We cherished our online relationships and friendships so much, and I continue to appreciate all these online friends that we have, both those that we're fortunate enough to meet in person and those I hope to still meet one day. Alita Titchell. So this whole thing is in honor of Alita, and today would have been her 10th anniversary. So happy anniversary, Alita. We love you. Yes. We love your baby. Even though your baby is old now. Oh my gosh. The baby is beautiful.
Yes.
And she looks like her mom and her dad both.
Yes.
And it's just such an awesome story. They never would have met without us, even though there's a tragedy in there. There's so much love. Yeah. And it's one of those things where Alita wouldn't have traded anything for the time that she had. And she's still desperately in love with him, and and I follow them religiously and stalk them online. So anyway, we're ready to now jump into, John, is there anything you'd like to say? I've been talking my head.
Oh man. I have a picture of them from their wedding day. It's in front of this, I guess it would be a Norse, chapel. It was such a really cool wedding experience, and it wasn't, you know, real long ceremony, because I did it, and I don't know why they would want me to do it, but I was so honored, and that was actually the first time that I had met them in person.
Wow.
And you know, we had talked on the phone and stuff like that, and it was just such an incredibly wonderful experience, and was so honored to be a part of their life. And Lita, love you, love your little NLCast baby, and blessings be upon both of you.
Yes.
Today and every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's rewind the week. All right. So, I think I've told somebody about this, but I don't think I've said it on the show. By the way, weekly rewinds are just stuff we do, where we tell the story from the last 7 days or so. Sometimes we cheat on that, and we because sometimes things happen and you're like, this would make a good weekly update. And then 2 weeks go by. So it still counts. Anyway,
it does. It's a weekly update from another week.
Yeah. That's we just time shift it. That's what they call it. It's time shift.
Time shift. Yeah. Yes.
So, me and my son were coming home. I just picked him up from school, and, we stopped at a stoplight. And I was watching people. I always watch people when I'm at stoplights. People cross the road. It's a very busy city, you know, atmosphere. So you have to be attentive. And I see a couple of people, and they're not walking. It's their turn to walk, and they're not walking. And so I'm curious, what are they doing? A lady pulls out a handkerchief and flaps it out like she's spreading a, t- you know, a tablecloth over a table. And I realized she's probably picking up poop off the ground, but I'm like, why with a handkerchief? And why would you worry about
it? She didn't like that handkerchief.
It was down in the gutter where the sidewalk goes into the road, and I couldn't see what she was placing the handkerchief over. It took a minute. She was kind of down there a long time, and she was kind of shifting her weight around and moving and sliding, and pretty soon what emerged over the top of the curb with her help was a turtle.
A turtle?
Yeah, or a tortoise.
In St. Louis?
Yeah, yeah. Well, luckily, we were right next to Tower Grove Park, and this turtle had apparently crossed the road or was on its way to get out of the park to cross the road, and this lady and this other gentleman did not want this turtle to get hurt, so they were trying to help move it, but they didn't want to touch the turtle. And I was like, Jay, I love turtles so much. They're my favorite animal. I was like, dude, we need to save this turtle. Jump out of the car real quick and go over there and grab it and put it in the grass. And Jay's a city boy. He doesn't know nothing. So he's like,
touch a turtle.
And he's very shy. So he was like, he was like, ha. What if it doesn't like the grass? I'm like, Jay, it's a turtle. It either likes it. Dirt if it's a tortoise, or it likes water, and both of them are in the park. So get out. And then the light turns green. He's like, phew. I could just hear him say it, even though he never said it out loud. I almost stopped the car and jumped out. I said, Georgia James would take care of this thing. I'll touch that turtle. I ain't worried about nothing.
Yeah.
Even if it was a snapping turtle, I'd go out there and get it from behind and pick it up.
Right place, yeah.
And move it. But I think it got taken care of because we had to leave. It was time to go. You don't stop in St. Louis. I did that today. I stopped at an intersection thinking there was a stop sign, and there wasn't. And that is a cardinal sin in the city, dude. I got a horn laid on me. Oh, my goodness. It was like a cat of nine tails across my back. I got
You're probably lucky it was just a horn, huh?
Yeah, exactly. A big old 4x4 truck behind me laying on the horn. It's like, I made a simple mistake. I'm sorry, city.
I don't know.
So
that wasn't for me.
Every time
you were honking because you knew me, were you?
Every time you misuse a stop sign, or actually stop for one, that's what misusing is called around here. Every time you use one properly, the arch sags just a little bit in sadness. So you're in St.
It tarnishes. Louis. It's not as shiny as it was.
That stainless steel gets a little stained.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that thing's probably really messed up by now, huh?
Yeah. But you wouldn't know it, but people don't like stop signs, but they are every other block. It's like, there's a stop sign and there's a lot of blocks, and city driving is chaotic at best. So anyway, somebody saved that turtle, and thank God they did. Because I would have had to have parked and gone and pulled a Georgia James. So anyway,
well, you know, it's good. I saw a turtle crying across the road, the other day. I didn't stop to get it 'cause he was almost completely off the road. And I was like, oh, you know, he's going to make it.
He's fine.
Plus it was in the other lane, and I felt safe that the turtle would be safe as well. But you know, that story, it actually kind of rings something. You remember Perry Grip had a song about turtles and tortoises, right?
No, I love Perry Grip, but I don't remember the song.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I used to play it all the time. And when I was a kids pastor, and it's talking about the differences between a turtle and a tortoise. So I'll just let you Google that.
Yeah. Or
check it out on YouTube and appreciate it.
I will love to do that.
Yeah. It's good. Good friend of the show, Perry Grip. He's never listened that I know of, but
or
I
like been to on think, it.
Yeah, that he, you know, is a good friend of ours.
Yeah, I like him. I think it's all one-sided, though. He's too famous for us.
I took a picture of you and him together. You remember that?
Yes. Yeah,
that was pretty awesome. I thought he was pretty cool dude.
He was very cool. Very talented.
But that's not my story.
Yeah.
Very talented indeed. Yeah. I would love to run into him again. I have a story that has nothing to do with Perry Grip or turtles. But I do apologize in advance. It does have to do with a bathroom.
Okay.
So,
we'll get through it somehow.
We'll get through it. And, you know, I know it's cliche for me to tell a bathroom joke, but here we go. It's not even a joke. It's a true story. It happened to me. So I was in the bathroom here on our school campus. And as an adult in a school full of, you know, children and young people, I don't like to be in the same bathroom where there's kids, you know,
yeah.
Especially if I've got to sit down. And we do have some staff bathrooms, but I wasn't in a building that had one. So I was like, this is a safe place. You got to know where you got to go. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's some bathrooms on campus that like nobody goes to. I think we've had this conversation before. So I had to have a sit down type visit to the bathroom. Okay. You know, just like you do. And I don't like to do that, but I had to. It was necessary for me to do this.
Mm.
And so I was in this bathroom, and it's kind of a smaller one, but it's got a couple stalls and a place where guys can use it. And I was in there, and I was just being quiet and doing my thing, and somebody walked in, and it's fine, you know. I kind of did the obligatory kind of thing, just so they don't try to open the door. And everything, you know, just, you know, no talking just, back and forth, just
making a thing. Little noise.
Yeah. A little rustle in the, you know, the paper and whatnot, just so the people know that there's another soul in there.
Shifting
just,
the
just
feet.
In case they decide to let something fly that they don't need to. So anyways, that's where I was, and that's what was happening. So I'm there, and the other person, the other guy finishes up and washes his hands and leaves. And as he leaves, he turns off the lights.
Oh!
And I'm like, should I say something like, "Hey,
help!
Lights on me," or should I sit there quiet? And James, I am not ashamed to tell you, I just sat there quietly, and I said nothing.
Of course you
and
did.
And I finished everything that I needed to do, and I was in complete darkness, and I was able to successfully complete my task and make it back to the sink and turn the lights on after I washed my hands, of course.
Right.
And the whole time I'm washing my hands in the dark thinking, I hope nobody walks in here while I'm washing my hands in the dark, because that's going to be a weird, awkward thing to have to
do. You know what I love about this? I have blind people on the brain because I went to the Illinois Council of the Blind convention this weekend. And and had a great time representing that story show, thanks to Terry Helsley and Jill Helsley, who I saw there, a couple of our listeners. But we have blind people that listen to our show who are going, yeah, what's funny about this?
People turn the lights out on me all the time.
Yeah, I don't give a crap about lights at all. So that is the worst, though. For a sighted person, it's just like, you don't need to be able to see, but there's something about bathrooms and monsters, you know?
Yeah. It's so dark. There's no windows in that bathroom.
Yeah. I mean,
it was so dark. And I was like, you know, when you get it, you're in the dark for long enough, you can actually, the tiniest light is very bright.
Right. Right.
I was in there that long, in the dark. And I just kept thinking, I hope nobody comes in, and like turns the lights on and gets scared because there's somebody in here. And then I'd really have to explain. So I, you know, fortunately nobody did.
Oh, good.
I just by myself.
Good, good, good. Oh, I'm glad you survived. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Next time, shuffle your feet around, get your feet next to the edge. That way people can see, maybe whistle a little bit, maybe grunt.
Maybe I wasn't loud enough. Maybe I should have done all that.
Okay, so I have one more weekly update that I shouldn't share, but I will. When I was on vacation recently, we went to Branson, to Silver Dollar City, and we went to see the Jesus performance, Sight and Sounds, Jesus performance. I think I mentioned that on the show. But
I don't remember you saying that.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
It was really good. But anyway, during the intermission, I go to the bathroom, and it's the one and only time that you'll wait in line is after a movie or during an intermission, you know, as a man to wait in line. But I knew a shortcut thanks to my wife and the help of a staff member. And I got in there quick and it filled up around me, but there was a guy in the stall I just want to say there was a lot of noises coming out, things falling in water, sounds of pain, and just suddenly, you know, just like all at one time, like, and I whispered under my breath, I was like, bless him, Lord. And the guy next to me started laughing so loud, he freaking snorted.
In the bathroom.
Yes. And you're not even supposed to talk or acknowledge people when they're next to you. And the only time people will pee in a urinal next to each other is when there's no other option, like at a football game or, you know, at the fair or at something like this. And so we broke all kind of rules and I was laughing. He's like, you got me snorting, man. That was wonderful. I needed that so bad. So anyway.
Bless him, Lord.
I was sincerely concerned. I'm like, there's internal organs coming out or something over there. I don't know what's going on.
Help this man recover from whatever it is he ate.
Oh my goodness. All right.
The show that bad?
He's got he's expelling demons in there or something. get thee behind me. Get behind my behind, Satan. Anyway, it is a theme show. And so we do have a couple of announcements. First of all, I want to say that we are doing this again next week, Dates and Mates Part 2. Yes. I know I mentioned it, but I just want to make it official. One more episode so you have time to get your stories in if you have been procrastinating. James@nlcast.com is where you send them in. We're looking for stories about marriage, dating, you know, cringy stuff from elementary school, middle school, whatever. I don't care. Also, June 11th, 2022 is NarthexCon. I mention it here during this segment instead of pre-show because people are signing up last minute, and that is wonderful. That is fine to do. But if you really think you're going to come, you need to go ahead and sign up and get in line because seats are limited. We are going to have a very great space to meet in. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to be telling stories and recording live and shaking hands and signing autographs and doing all kinds of stuff like that. Registration is open at narthex.com or narthexcon.com. I wish I owned narthexcon. I mean, narthex.com. That would be awesome. But anyway,
narthex.com. That'd be awesome.
All right. It's time for us to jump into some featured stories.
Let me tell y'all a story.
So this is a segment we don't do every time, but we do have some of our own dates and mates style stories. And so I wanted to tell one that I've never told before. I've told so many stories about me and Jen over the years. It was hard for me to find one that I hadn't told. So this is one where it was the first day that we went out together. It wasn't a date, though, because we met at a McDonald's, and then my sister and her friends left me at the McDonald's at my request, and Jennifer drove me home with her friends, and and that was kind of my plan, you know? So, brilliant. But I called her. I didn't get her number, but I found it. I had to call progressively nerdier and nerdier people, and that should have been my warning right there that I was way above my station with this girl because she was really smart. And I kept calling, I called like a friend and I'm like, do you know Jennifer Dumont's, you know, number? And they're like, no, but so-and-so does. And I'm like, oh, that's a nerd. You know? Wow. And so I called this person. I'm like, you don't know me. You're not in any remedial classes, but I need Jennifer Dumont's phone number. Anyway, I finally get older. We talked forever. And then she called me and she asked me to go with her to this Baptist convention youth thing. It was called something weird, Bam Bam or Wah Wah or something. Like, I can't remember what it was, but
Centrifuge?
No, it was a trippy little name like Wah Wah or something, or Bam Bam or
Bam Bam Wah Wah.
Yeah, it was something like that. Anyway,
I don't know.
We went to it, but we spent the entire time together in the lobby where the vendors were, because there was this painting that spanned the entire circumference of the lobby. And it was the history of St. Simon's Island, I guess, because there were Indians up there. There were conquistadors painted up there. And the funny thing was the Indians, and I say Indians before you just, you know, pause your email. Indians call themselves Indians. Okay. So, you know, if you want to get upset at white people, not at me. Anyway, the Indians in the mural had these funny weapons. They should have been painted differently. And I started making fun of the painting, not the people in it. But they had these sticks with conch shells on top of it. And the sticks were
conch shells.
Yes. And the sticks were painted very thin. And I talked about how that wouldn't work as a weapon, but maybe that's why they were called conch shells. Cause you conch them over the head. And oh, she just laughed and laughed and laughed like it was the funniest thing in the world. Like you do when you're in love with somebody, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when she slid her hand into mine for the first time after I made that joke.
She was waiting for you to make a joke so she could hold your hand.
I made her laugh the entire night. It was great. But the conch shell joke was the one that sealed the deal.
Yes. Oh man.
So anyway, that's mine. That's how I held hands with a girl for the first, not, it wasn't the first time, but with her for the first time.
With her, yeah. I mean, you found the one, man.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, the conch shell.
We're going to be celebrating 26 years next month. So,
whoa.
Yeah. Pretty proud
26.
Of that.
26.
Yeah.
I just celebrated 24 last month.
Hey, happy anniversary, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. Conk you in the head with a conch shell weapon. So.
Oh, James, you're so funny.
I know, man. Hold my hand.
Oh, man.
Whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah, whatever it takes. And obviously it works. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you're looking for a great pickup line, go to St. Simon's Island, Georgia.
To the convention center.
The convention center. Look for that picture and make that joke. Maybe, who knows? I mean, you know what you should do is go back to that site, James.
Oh.
Get a picture together and then put a plaque on the wall. Say, James and Jen fell in love right here.
No, that wasn't where we fell in love. I could tell you that story too, but no, where we held hands.
First hands for the first time.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Well, I got a story.
Okay.
My feature story is about my wife too, because you know, because you told one about your wife.
Yeah.
But this was before we even started dating. We were not a couple. In fact, when we first met each other, we were like, she had just gotten out of a relationship and was like, I'm not really interested in dating anybody right now. And I just was kind of like, well, I've made a commitment to not date anybody for a little while. So.
Yeah, you were still wiping the clown makeup off from the last girlfriend.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Yeah. No, okay. Go back and listen to the clown letdown for that little reference, yes. Y'all. That's, I don't know what episode it is, but it's in there somewhere. Yeah, good one. Thank you. No, but Amy and I, we met through mutual friends. And so because, you know, we wanted to hang out with our friends and they were with each other, we kind of inevitably would be hanging out at the same time. And so my friend, who was also my roommate at the time, was engaged to her friend, like her best friend from, you know, back in the town that they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all decided to just go to Taco Bell like college kids do. That's all you can afford. So you go to Taco Bell. And we were there. And I was like, you know, this girl, she's kind of cute. And I might be interested in dating her perhaps one day, getting to know her. And I was sitting there with my friend Mark, and I say, hey man, I gotta let one go here. And I gotta test the waters, because I knew if it was gonna work out, she would have to accept me for who I am.
That is true, but no.
Listen, I didn't want to get my hopes up and you know, and then be dashed, you know, 6 months later when one accidentally slipped out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just, you know, I didn't, wasn't going to be gross about it and make a joke about it. I was just going to let it happen. And so, but I wasn't going to do that right next to her because I wasn't that brave. And so she went up to, you know, get her food at the counter or whatever. And so I just, you know, right there in the Taco Bell, I ripped one. And she didn't make any kind of indication that she heard it. But she accepted, you know, the fact that whatever happened just happened. I kind of giggled and laughed like an idiot, like I do. And I don't remember the room clearing out or anything. That's stricken from my memory, I guess. But she came back and sat down. We had our meal and, you know, laughed and stuff. And I thought, okay, well, you know.
She's the one.
She passed that test. And then years later, or not even years later, I guess after, you know, we had finally gotten to date and hang out with each other, I said, hey, remember that time in the Taco Bell when I did that? I said, what were you thinking? She's like, oh, I was embarrassed for you. I'm like, oh, so you didn't think it was funny or anything, huh? No, I was just embarrassed for you. I just pretended like I didn't hear it.
That's funny. That's funny.
So that's my story.
So what I want to know is, your last name is Steinklauber. And
yeah.
At what point did she learn this and what was her reaction? Because she had to have been thinking into the future and like, do I really want this name? So was it a step up? My wife considers my name a step up from her. She didn't like her last name. So what was her reaction? I'm just interested.
Well, her last name was Millsaps.
Oh, wow.
And that's hard. Millsaps.
That's difficult. Which,
it is, I guess. It's kind of. I thought it was kind of cool because apparently there's a country singer, Ronnie Millsap or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but not Millsaps.
Yeah, true. Right, there's an S at the end of hers. I don't know. It's it certainly is more consonants. But she, I thought she was impressed by it, my last name, and she took it.
Yeah.
She took it. So
okay.
You can't have it back.
Yeah. Good deal.
I don't remember the whole, I do remember a conversation about it, but I don't remember. She was like, oh my goodness, I can't do that.
Yeah. I'm going to have to think this one through. I'll get
definitely
back to you.
Not hyphenating.
Yeah. No joke. Millsap Steinklauber. And that sounds like a bad guy in a Russian horror movie or something. Yes. You know, my name is Millsap Steinklauber.
Oh, I would eat you.
Eat your brains. All right, let's get into the feature of the day. I'm so excited about some of these stories. They are so great.
Yes, me too.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right. Brought to you by Audible. Try Audible Premium Plus free for 30 days. Get one credit or two if you're a Prime member. Good for any premium select titles. Yours to keep. Plus their catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. No credits needed for those. They'll even send you a reminder email before your trial ends. You've got nothing to lose. Visit audibletrial.com/TSS to start your free 30-day trial today. Thank you, Audible, for sponsoring us. Let's get into our first show, The Same Parts. Our first story, that is, The Same Parts. And it is brought to us by Laurel Beck. All right, here we go. My boyfriend and I had been dating a good solid 6 months when he invited me to travel to Portugal with him and his parents. The best part of the whole situation was the parents would be paying for my travel. As a 20-something-year-old with the mature responsibilities included, I would never have been able to foot the bill for that sort of trip, complete with hotel stays and dining out. It was going to be the trip of a lifetime. So I hopped on the plane with my man and his mom and his dad heading to Europe. This sounds like a bad movie.
I think it sounds awesome.
I'm just saying it sounds like it should be called European Vacation or something like that. So
gotcha. Yeah. Right.
As soon as we stepped off the plane, his mother said she felt so sick because she could never sleep on a plane. She needed some rest in the hotel room. Well, being the wonderful Christian people they are, they booked two rooms in the hotel. And obviously my boyfriend and I couldn't stay in the same room, so we had to separate by gender. One of the rooms had two twin beds. The other had a queen size bed. And wouldn't you believe it? The men claimed the bedroom with the twin beds before we even had a chance to think about it. I had known this woman for less than a year. And she was the one that gave birth to my boyfriend. And now I was going to have to sleep with her in the same bed.
Same bed.
The same covers. Toenail to toenail.
No.
Yes. Toenails passing in the night, exchanging glances. We went to our rooms and proceeded to lay down to rest after the long flight. This was the time before texting was available on cell phones. You remember that? And I had no way to let my boyfriend know where we were or how we were, or that he is seriously in trouble for jilting me from the room with the twin beds. Within an hour of resting, his mother was shaking and crying because she felt so sick, and I couldn't get a hold of her husband or my boyfriend. So I had to call the doctor from the front desk to save her. And I didn't want her life on my hands. By the time I got off the phone, I was shaking in need of some serious intervention myself. When my boyfriend came to the door a half hour later, he looked rested and he offered to take me out to dinner while the doctor attended to his mother. Well, anything to get me out of that room. So I agreed. And when I asked him why he was so selfish as to abandon me with his mother in the same bed, he responded, "Well, y'all got the same parts."
What kind of
response is that? And you marry him? That would be like, I know I'm stranded in another country, but we are done. Because you and your dad, y'all got the same parts too. So
I hope so.
Oh, anyway, fast forward 4 days. We were relaxing in the hotel room while his mother was taking a shower. His dad must have made himself scarce again. I must preface this with the fact that Portugal seemingly has no safety features in their hotel bathrooms whatsoever. The door to the shower was just a piece of swinging glass. The entire room was tiled with glossy ceramic tile. There was no grab bars. Even the sink was fastened to the wall without any legs. Everything was ceramic. When you add water to slippery ceramic, you are met with a very dangerous situation. And while we were finally alone to talk, all my boyfriend and I could hear was crash, bang, boom, crash, followed by a long, low cry of pain.
Oh, no.
And then silence, followed by more silence. I told my boyfriend that he should go check on his mom, and he stared at me blankly, and he said the same thing again. You guys have the same parts.
Oh, come on, man.
We sat there staring at each other. And that's when I realized he had no intentions of checking on his mom. So I knocked on the door to see if she was okay, if she needed me to help her, hoping that no. Fortunately, she said in a weak voice, "No, I'm okay, I think." Well, fortunately, she was okay. And lucky for him that she was, because if she had said that I had the same parts and I had to see my potential future mother-in-law splayed out naked on the floor, it would be a wedding that would never happen. I did end up marrying this moron, and we've been married for 17 years, and I have never spoken to my mother-in-law about that trip, and I never will. I have vowed to never let my husband forget, however, and I will also promise that I will never share the same bed with the girlfriend of one of my sons ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
It really brings it home when she phrases it that way.
Yeah.
How creepy that is. Yeah, you can just hang out with my mom.
Y'all got the same parts.
You got the same parts. It's all good. The logic of men. Oh, man. You poor Laurel. Yeah. I feel bad for you, Mrs. Beck. I do.
Yes, and me too. But I'm also very thankful that happened because it was a great story for you. Yes. To send our show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I saved a good story for you. This was just for you.
Did you? Oh, I know who this is from.
Oh, yeah? You know him?
I know Thomas from Georgia. In fact, he works with me now.
Oh.
He just hired him this week.
Nice.
And I go to church with Thomas. Hey, Thomas, how you doing? So he was sitting in the office, and he got your message about the show.
Okay.
About being on the show. He's like, oh, hey, I sent in a story. It's going to be read. And I'm like, really? So now I know a little bit more about Thomas and his wife. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. This is First to Fart by Thomas from Georgia. I figured since you're looking for a couple stories, I thought I'd share this one from when my wife and I were dating. We were at her house one evening, and we were sitting there talking with her mom. And while we were talking, she thought it would be a good idea to tickle me. Mm. What she did not know at the time is how much I hated being tickled. And when this happens, I will get immediate revenge. That's good to know. She kept it up.
Yeah, John, don't tickle Thomas.
I will not tickle
because he will get revenge immediately.
Immediate revenge. He's much taller than I am.
Keep your hands off Thomas, John.
Yeah, that's just we'll take care of that. That's okay. So she kept at it no matter what I said, and I finally had had enough, and so I started tickling her. Uh-oh. Now, remember, her mom is still there, and I had her pinned on the floor tickling her, and then all of a sudden, we hear a noise come from her that is not laughing.
Oh, no.
She farted. This was the first time one of us farted in front of the other. It caught me off guard. I stopped. When I stopped, she ran to the bathroom embarrassed. Her mom started laughing hysterically. She eventually came out after some prodding, though. This story doesn't end here, though. About a month later, we were at the movies, and we saw some friends of ours, and we started talking. And not sure what brought this up, but one of our friends made the comment, "It's not true love until you fart in front of each other." My wife immediately turned red and ran off. Same person says, "Well, now we know who farted first." We all had a good laugh, and then I had to go find her so we could continue our date. Obviously, it didn't run her off. We got married 2 years later, and we've been married for 16 years. Love the show, and hope this makes it on the show.
Uh-oh. I got to play the bell. There we go.
There you go.
That one caught me off guard. There we go. Thanks, Thomas. That was great.
Yes, Thomas. Thank you. And that's really weird to read a story from somebody that I work with. It's really.
I know. Later on, there's a story from a friend of mine. And I didn't realize it until after I had put it in the show. I'd read the whole thing, and I read the end, and I'm like, I know this guy. Oh, my gosh. It changed the whole story for me. Anyway, this one is absolutely classic. It's called Sweet Surprise. It is terrible. It's from Anna Clement in Oklahoma City. You'll know what I'm talking about in just a second. Our whole family loves your podcast. I hope you like our story. I do, but it's terrible, and it's wonderful. My husband and I met on Match.com back in 2002 when it was still kind of shady to be dating online. I was a Baptist pastor's daughter who had just graduated from Bible college, and he was a United States Marine / sailor / stockbroker who had recently turned from his worldly ways to walk with the Lord. So he's looking for a good woman, apparently. After months of emailing back and forth, we finally decided to take our relationship to the next level by talking on the phone.
Wait, you said months?
Yeah.
Of emailing? And now, wow, that's, I applaud that. Yeah. I applaud that.
These women move slow. These NL cast women, they have morals, you know, they have standards. They put their men through the paces. That's what I'll say.
That's right.
So at the end of our first conversation, I worked up the courage to invite this not quite stranger to meet up in person. And he volunteered to talk to my dad first and ask permission to meet me, even though I was 24 at the time. I was a traditional kind of girl, and I appreciated his chivalrous overtures. So after a short conversation with my dad, we set a date. In just a few weeks, Chad would be driving from Dallas, Texas to meet me in my hometown of Amarillo. The plan was he would leave after work Friday, get in late Friday night, check in his hotel room, rest up for breakfast with my dad. Man, they were meeting for real.
Oh, breakfast with dad.
Brekkie with dad.
Oh,
little did he know that I was planning a sweet little surprise for him when he arrived. In the course of our conversations, I managed to find out which hotel he would be staying at. And since I didn't know his favorite cookie, I made a huge basket full of every kind. And I wrapped them up while they were still hot. And I walked them to the front desk of his hotel and asked the man to please make sure this sweet surprise would be waiting in Chad's room upon his arrival. Around 11 o'clock that night, I got the late night call from Chad. And he said, I'm about 20 minutes outside of town. I'm heading to my room. I responded, are you tired? To which he replied, I am, but I'm really excited to meet you. I'm excited to meet you too, I said with a shy giggle. And then I innocently whispered, when you get there, there'll be a sweet surprise waiting in your room.
Oh no!
I heard a really long pause. No. And Chad nervously said, is it you? He thought I'd found a way to be waiting in his room when he arrived. I was shocked. This girl would never. No, it's not me. It's a daggum cookie basket. I laughed and explained that I had made a big batch of fresh cookies and had the front desk man leave them in his room. We both laughed and breathed a sigh of relief that I was not catfishing him, but indeed was the good Christian girl that he had driven all night to meet. We've been married for 19 years now, and we have 10 kids.
Oh,
and we still laugh and blush about my quote unquote sweet surprise. Love your podcast. Hope my story makes you smile. Anna Clement from Oklahoma City. Can you see what I meant about this wonderful, horrible story?
Yeah. I love you.
Oh, man.
Got a sweet surprise for you. I would have freaked out, man.
Yeah, yeah, because there's two feelings every man's going to feel. I don't care who you are. One of them is a carnal feeling. You're like, oh, sure. Boy. But then your morality kicks in, and you're like, no, this ruins everything. This is not the kind of woman I wanted. I didn't want this kind of thing. But then the other part of your brain is like, yeah, but still.
You know, nervously, is it you?
Because there's the sweet part. And that's the carnal part. And then there's the surprise part. That's the moral part. I don't want this kind of surprise, but it's sweet. So anyway.
Sweet surprise.
Oh my goodness. We got a voicemail from James Devine. And it's audio and it's called Little Italian Predictor. And it goes a little something like this.
Did you know there's a little known Italian secret that can predict if your marriage is going to be successful?
Oh.
Yes. And it comes from my little 5-foot-tall Italian mom. And I'm going to share that with you in a minute. But first, a shout out to my wife of 34 years. She's my best friend. We've shared life together for 34 years, raised 4 kids, and now we have 8 grandkids. When people ask me how long we've been married, I tell them, not long enough.
All right.
Something that good Italian boys do, which I am one of those good Italian boys, is they bring their girlfriends home to meet mama, to get mama's approval. And I was always so excited. All these girls that I was dating through high school, it seemed like I always had a girlfriend. I didn't have much self-esteem back in those days. And I always felt like I had to have a girlfriend. And I'd be like, she's the one. She's the one. She makes my heart beat so fast. And I would bring her home to meet my mom. And then after dinner, it's like, Mom, Mom, what do you think about, what do you think about this one? What do you think about this one?
Jimmy, she's not the one for you.
Time after time, my mama answered me,
Jimmy, she's not the one for you.
Jimmy, she's not the one for you. Jimmy, she's not the one for you.
I decided no matter who I brought home, she's not going to like anybody, and I'm just going to have to live a single celibate life. When I brought Susan home for the first time, I expected the same answer from my mom. But this time, the answer was different.
Jimmy, Jimmy, she's the one for you, I know.
So I said, Mom, how is this one any different? You've always told me the same thing. She's not the one for you. She's not the one for you. And now you're telling me that this is the one. How can you know? You just met her.
Jimmy, I know she's the one for you because when we have a dinner, she asks for seconds.
So now you know the secret Italian predictor of a successful marriage is lasagna.
It's overeating.
Nice. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
That's so good.
It's great.
I want to have a voice like his when I grow up.
I know, right? I know.
Yeah.
Speaking of Italians, this one comes from David Godbout, my best friend in the entire world. And,
is he Italian?
He is. He is.
Okay.
Yes. He's half Italian. His mother is
half
full-blooded, buddy. And
nice.
Yeah. He always says his grandmother was Italian. His mother is Italian American. He is American Italian, and his kids are just white kids. they're just American.
Kids. They're just white kids.
It's so there's no classification for them. Anyway, this is called the best worst date ever. A few years back, a friend of mine, Danny C, got 4 free tickets to a monster truck show in Kansas City. It was for an upcoming Saturday night, and he called me and wanted to know if I wanted to go, which I replied, well, I got a date written on the calendar that night with my wife. To which he replied, great, we'll make it a double date, and it will be incredible. Our wives were good friends and volunteered together at our church. Let's make it a surprise date, he suggested, meaning not tell them where we were going. I thought I wholeheartedly agreed with this idea, thinking it would take a great evening and make it incredible and to the scale of greatness. So we set it up and we told our wives we were going out to dinner and then to an after dinner event, but the restaurant would be and what the event would be was a surprise. It'll be an evening you'll never forget, we told them. We didn't know how true that statement would prove to be. So in the spirit of a monster truck show, we went to a barbecue restaurant to set the tone for the night. And we arrived in the parking lot of the restaurant, and they were a little surprised that we chose this place, but things seemed to be good at this point. As we finished eating, they began to ask what was next. What was this secret event? Knowing they couldn't have guessed where we were going in 1,000 years, you guessed it. We had them guess where we were going for a few minutes. And as it turns out, this was not a good idea, resulting in a growing level of frustration in the hearts of the ladies. So after a few minutes, Danny announces, we're going to the monster truck show at Kemper Arena. And he said it with such enthusiasm. The momentary silence was deafening. After about 6 seconds, Patty, Danny's wife, says, no, really, where are we going? Need I mention that she wasn't smiling? Danny then pulls out 4 Ticketmaster tickets out of his pocket and fans them in front of the ladies as if it's the most impressive thing in the world. The ladies looked at each other and then at us and said almost in unison, you have got to be kidding. We assured them that we weren't kidding and we needed to head downtown to the arena so we wouldn't be late. Did I mention that it was January and in the single digits outside? The girls were dressed in thin pants and fairly light coats. The closest parking was 3 blocks away, So we dropped them off near the entrance, only to realize when we got out of the car that we had the tickets with us. So they were left standing, freezing on the sidewalk. Our seats were right above the place where the trucks enter the floor of the arena and the starting line for the courses. Most people, obviously seasoned veterans of the monster truck genre of entertainment, they had earplugs and ear protection, but we did not. And the volume level was incredible and not in a good way. Also, it was well below freezing inside the arena due to the fact that all the exterior doors to the facility had to remain open because of the exhaust fumes coming out of the trucks, which, because we were directly behind the starting line, were coming right up in our faces. I will give the girls credit. They made it to the end of the show. The walk to the car at the end of the night was quiet and made worse due to the fact that the ladies had to navigate 3 blocks of icy sidewalks in dress shoes. For some reason, they held on to each other rather than allowing us to help them along. I am sad to say that our friends are no longer married. However, my wife and I are, only adding validation to the old adage, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. David got
that's so
good. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
This is him, by the way. This is the way he is. He has these great ideas that he literally thinks are the best in the world. And I look at him and I'm like, really, David? Really?
Yeah. I maybe should think that through just a couple minutes.
But he has. That's the thing. And it's never occurred to him. It never. This sounds exactly like him, especially with his wife.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
He'll tell me things. And I think my whole role in his life is just to hold up a mirror and say, David, think about it this way, you know? Oh, okay. Yeah. I could see how that would be. Let me tell you a quick example. My family, and I've told plenty of stories about my family, and I can laugh at the stories, but you can tell that I came from a pretty dysfunctional family. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
My sister, on the other hand, one of my sisters, I won't say which one just for privacy reasons, does not think any of it was funny, that there was nothing redeemable about it. She lives with a lot of pain and turmoil, especially about the abandonment that she experienced when my real father left us. And so David is friends with my sister and has a bunch of people and they're eating dinner and she gets up to go to the bathroom and he says, hey guys, let's all not be here when she gets back.
Oh,
and so everybody, you know, David's the pastor. He's the leader of the group. They think it's a great idea. Let's do what he says. And so they all leave and she apparently just falls apart in the middle of the restaurant and drives home and she's staying with them at the time. And, she just goes straight upstairs. He has to go in there and smooth things over and talk it out. And they have this 3-hour conversation about abandonment and all this. And so, yeah, every now and then I bring that up and I'm like, you remember that idea you had about leaving everybody, you know? Yeah. Let's this is kind of close to that idea. So,
okay. There you go.
Anyway, I'm done. Oh, man. Moving right along.
God bless David Godbout.
Yeah, somebody needs to.
Yes, good guy. Well, I got a story from Hannah, all the way from Union City, Pennsylvania. You know, we have a Union City right up the street from where I live here.
Really?
But it's not Union City, Pennsylvania.
Nope.
Yep, and it's not probably as awesome as Union City, Pennsylvania is. Sorry, I can't use words today. She says, hi, James and John. Oh, this is Dates and Lion Mates.
Okay.
In the theme of our show, Dates and Mates, this is Dates and Lion Mates. She says, I've been listening to the show for about 2 years now. I started chronologically, but I'm finally to the point of listening to the episodes as they air, and I'm ready to share a story.
Awesome.
There you go. Thank you, Hannah. I applaud you. Thank you. My husband and I were young teens when we started dating, so our first date alone, we went to our local zoo. We were both shy and spent the majority of the morning walking around, making googly eyes at each other, talking about the height of giraffes and the pinkness of flamingos. Yeah, you're so cute and handsome. I'm sorry, I'm just caught up in the moment there.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the story, by the way. I just added that. The flamingos was, but you know,
Yeah, no, I got it.
Sorry. As we walked towards the lion's exhibit, we finally worked up the nerve to be holding hands. And we were discussing how we shared a love for the Lion King as children. Right as we got to the exhibit, we heard a loud roaring and the voice of a very concerned little girl. We looked up to see two lions doing something that was certainly not in our beloved childhood movie.
I wonder what they were doing.
Now when we take our kids to the zoo, we listen to our six-year-old talk about how many hours lions sleep per day, and we shoot each other a knowing smile, thinking back to that first date when we saw the lion's mate. Thank you for helping me through the height of this pandemic and making me laugh on my commute as I transition back into the world of a working person, Hannah. Thank you so much, Hannah. That was a great story. You got to be careful at the zoo, right?
Yeah, yeah. You never know what you're going to see.
Yeah. No.
It's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's nature.
It's nature. They don't go back into the hidden part of the zoo when that happens.
No. What are they doing, Mommy?
I don't know. Let's just go look at the flamingos. He's
giving her a back massage. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. So.
This is called Tacky Tat from Stephen Forster, and this is the cringiest one of all.
Oh, cringy.
Yeah. My story takes place in 2013. When I was 23, single, and I'd just gone through a terrible breakup in 2012. I decided to give online dating a try, and I signed up for Christian Mingle.
Christian Mingle.
How would life have been different if they had had such things when we were young, John?
You know, man.
You literally had to go
life easier.
Mingle in Christian situations, but now they just match you right up. After talking briefly to a few different ladies, I eventually zeroed in on a nice girl from Kentucky. Since I'm from Michigan, we decided to meet halfway in Ohio and spend the day together. And we met at a restaurant for lunch. We took some long walks, and then we had dinner at another restaurant. The funny part of this date came during the long walk. As we talked about the funny things of being single, I jokingly said, "Every year that I don't find a wife, I lower my standards just a little bit. Next year, I'll start accepting tattoos." As if that joke was not really already a little inappropriate, it got awkward when she looked at me kind of shocked and said, "Hey, I have a tattoo."
Oh, no.
Sure enough,
Steven.
She had a small tattoo on the lower part of her left wrist. She now regretted getting it, so she had it covered up with her watch.
Oh.
She forgave me for the bad joke, but I felt terrible for the rest of the date. Ultimately, it did not work out.
Your standards weren't low enough, Steven.
Oh, no. It's pretty bad. Christian Mingle. They should have a checkbox. That's what got me thinking about Christian Mingle. I'm like, I've never been on there, and I could never sign up because then they would do some sort of leak, and then my name would be out there, and they'd be like, "Why is James on Christian Mingle?" Because James is curious about some things, and here's what I'm curious about is, are there checkboxes for the kinds of belief that you have? Like, are you Calvinist? Or are you not? Do you believe in free will? Do you believe it? Are you mid-trib, post-trib, or pre-trib? Do you select what version of the Bible that you prefer? You know, and if you're really religious about it, are you KJV only? And you only take people that listen or read from KJV? And is there a box for tattoos and piercings, you know, right. All of those little finagles of religion would have to be accounted for to match you properly with somebody that is succinctly designed and perfectly designed for you. I don't know. Maybe there's a click box, you know how Google has a search and then I feel lucky. You know, there's a submit button and a God's will button where it just randomly assigns whatever it thinks God's will for your life is. I don't know how
much
it works.
Easier that way.
But
wouldn't it?
I'm just curious. So if I'm ever exposed, like if Christian Mingle's service ever gets let out and they're like, James, why is James on Christian Mingle? I was not looking for a date. I was just curious about how it worked.
I just wanted to know what was out there.
Oh, man. And I'm not revealing any hidden sin right now either. I just want to let you know I've never signed up for anything. I am not curious about singles in my area. I've seen them and they're touching turtles and I don't want to be around them. So we're good. Well, that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. That is our show. It was so fun. Surely you have a funny life story. Whatever your story is, send your stories, email or audio to that storyshow@gmail.com. That storyshow.com is the website. Review the show at review.nlcast.com. That really helps us out a lot. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you or your spouse, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Man, we got to do this again next week. We had so many stories. It's crazy.
That's great.
You know,
and
what?
We got some special patron-only stories coming up next.
We do. We do. So join Patreon and patreon.com/thatstoryshow. I also want people to follow me on Twitter. I don't have enough Twitter followers. So if you're on Twitter, at NLcast, that's what you do. Just look up at NLcast and follow me. And if you don't have a Twitter account, sign up for Twitter. Follow me and then forget about it.
Yeah, there you go.
I just want you to do this for me as a special present because you haven't gotten me a birthday present ever.
Oh, it's only right. Yeah. I follow you on Twitter.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. I haven't used Twitter.
He who follows me on Twitter doeth a good thing. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's record some bonus content now.
Okay.
All right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.